This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When bloggers or influencers post their outfit links, 9 times out of 10, I click on it and immediately exit because the price is bananas. It wasn't until recently that I clicked on something expecting it to be the usual out of my price range sweater, and it was under $60 at Quince. Quince has become my ultimate destination for luxury essentials that won't break the bank. Let me tell you about some of the gems I found at Quince. From their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50 to their washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, Quince offers a range of high quality items at prices that are truly within reach. And here's the best part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Hey.
Hey.
I am a mesh to this job. Okay.
Actually, I think we actually are.
Do you want to talk about enmeshment? We'll talk about that. It is Saturday morning, and we are in the office recording.
Sunday. That's how... It's Sunday. That's how much we're functioning today. Well,
so we're going to talk about enmeshment today, which is funny, right? So like enmeshment and family, like boundaries and family substance is like foundations of family therapy.
Mm.
And, preach. Right, the funny part about enmeshment is, and all boundaries, is that they're reciprocal. Mm. That's one of the things you have to know. What that means is if I am overly engaged with you, it means I'm disengaged from something else. So if I am overly engaged with my job, Jen.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm also looking at myself. What am I disengaged from?
Our family.
Something happening. Our friends. So let's talk about enmeshment and what the hell that actually is. And the funniest part was like, all right, we're like, oh, let's do an episode on enmeshment. We talk about it all the time, but we've never like gone into the definition. So I pulled out, if you watch us on YouTube, you can see this now. Literally back to basics, our family therapy textbook.
I'm having like a reaction.
Are you having, Jen is dissociating back 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And this is like the most Vegas. I would like to go on vacation, I think.
I think so too.
Vague.
And we should go to Vegas.
Most vague, I think, is probably the correct.
I think if we went to Vegas, we would probably just sleep.
I would sleep by the pool.
Yeah.
And I would watch other people get drunk.
Right. That would be fun, actually.
The people watching. I'm in those trips for people watching, right? That's what I'm in for.
That's why I go out to dinner.
Oh, my God. Jen told me, like, I asked Jen one time what her financial goal was for life. Like, you know, like.
Like, some, oh, if we make this amount of money, what
right,
would
yeah, like, some it? People's like, oh, I want to buy a house or I want to retire. Do you want to know what Jen's answer was? She said, I want to go out to eat every single night and never have to think about it. Do you stand by that?
100,000,000%.
Would you go to, like, the same, would you be, like, a regular? You walk in, they're like, oh, Jen's here on a Monday. Get her the turkey
no,
club.
I would go to different places. Also, okay. Let me just say, and this is total side note, I love to eat out by myself.
Oh, I do too. I
People
actually
struggle
love,
with that.
That is not a problem that I have.
It's actually one of my favorite things to do.
Okay, I really like eating out by myself. Did you see? This is one of the things that's horrible about videotaping is I just had to like move my hair and back of the headphones.
It looks nice, actually.
And I'm now aware that all of that was just caught on film. Great, 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 great. I like to go out to eat by myself, too.
It's nice. People struggle with it. They feel vulnerable, exposed.
I have no problem there. And I don't bring anything with me. I'm like bringing a book.
Yeah, I'll have my phone, but I won't be on my phone the whole time. I'll literally people watch and have no qualms about it. Like,
no issue.
People will be like having a conversation next
okay, wait,
to me.
Can I
just be like
wait, let me ask you a question, yes. though. Do you, I always, when I go out to eat by myself, I prefer to sit at the bar.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll straight up sit at a table.
You want a table? Okay, so I'm going to sit at the bar, and I'm going to talk to the bartender a little bit.
Oh, yeah, see, I'll do either one. Whatever's available.
I don't think I prefer, I do not like sitting at a table by myself, I don't think.
Do you know why? Like, what's the reason?
If I'm being honest, I feel like I'm taking up a table.
Oh, you're kind. Not me. I'm like, oh, I'll order this. Oh, like, I have straight up ordered a steak dinner at a table by myself before.
Where were you?
And the whole time, I honestly feel so empowered when I do.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, I can take myself out to dinner and I don't need anyone with me.
So we would say you do not have a meshed marriage then, right? Or a meshed relationships. You are a very good individual.
Oh, yeah. I make it a point.
Okay. But here's the thing. If you came from an enmeshed family, that would be criticized.
Absolutely.
Wanting privacy in an individual choices and decisions, that is like criticized if you come from an enmeshed family.
Because of the lack of boundaries.
Because of the complete diffused lack of boundaries. And there's also this idea in enmeshed families. Okay, so enmeshed, right? We'll go back to the textbook definition.
Sorry, we got off topic.
Which I thought was where this went came from. Vague, most vague, we've now decided that is. Loss of autonomy due to a blurring of psychological boundaries. So here's like the example we give. And like people, like if you have related to episodes on parentification, we're going to have to talk about that. Because parentification often comes from enmeshment and often comes from caregivers treating children as if they're peers and not being their parents.
Or needing children to take care of them in some way, right? Yes. Like there's a lack of boundaries, appropriate boundaries in that.
And there's a big part of this, like when we talk about fierce loyalty being expected, there's also often like groupthink. Right? So like we all have to think the same way or think of things the same way. So like we have to, our family story is the same. Mom and, right? Like whatever we believe all has to be the same. There's not a lot of room for individuation and figuring out shit on your own.
Oh, that's like my, remember when we talked about being child free?
Yes.
In that episode. And that like one of the things that comes up for me is like my independence is so important for me. So even as you talk about that, I'm like, ugh.
That's hard for you to think about, right?
Yeah, like pains my soul.
And so it was interesting because in last week's episode, I don't know when this is airing, but we had an episode where somebody...
Yeah, we should...
we had an episode where somebody had did... We're during one of the Q&A episodes and somebody had brought in feeling like they like had to like physically distance from their parent, right? Like she said, like she'd like... It's been 10 years that she lives in a different city and still like can't feel that. I wonder if there's a chance that there was enmeshment there that she broke free from and now there isn't a new way.
I would say chance is probably pretty high.
Chance is probably pretty high,
also,
right?
Also, if that's your model of relationships, right? Mm-hmm. If you learn, okay, this means that we're close. You know how sometimes people are like, oh, we had such a close family growing up. And like typically that is kind of
like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, what's that even mean? And sometimes close family is like we all think the same, we all do things together, we all, that there's no room to individuate, right? And so
and what does individuate mean? Be an individual person, just
being
make
an
sure
individual, being able to develop and understand your own thoughts separate from other people. And I think that can be so hard when that's your model of relationships, and then you grow up and you get into other relationships, you bring that model into your romantic relationships, into your friendships. And if your friends or your romantic relationships have different models of relationships that they're bringing in, it can cause tension. It can cause friction.
Yeah. And that friction, right? That's when we start getting towards cutoff. So when we talk about boundaries being reciprocal, right, there has to be like an other side. So if I come from a really enmeshed family, it may feel like the only way to separate is to completely cut off. And this becomes, that is a very unfair position for many people to be put in, which is if I go against my family rules, the things that are defined, one of those family rules is like fierce loyalty, not talking back, only having groupthink. Then I have to figure out some way to have a relationship with these people. When I have crossed the family rules, there's a risk of one, getting kicked out of my family of origin, two, not being like, right, like, and not being welcomed back in and losing my role in the family. If I go against the family rules, what happens to me?
Oof.
If I stop being the peacemaker, if I stop being the participants in the groupthink, what then happens to me? That's really scary.
Right. There's like a fear of rejection.
Yeah. So when we talk about boundaries, it's talked about in this really like oversimplified idea. Boundaries can be completely fucking heartbreaking and like turn everything around for you if you're coming from a family like this.
Oh my God, yeah, it can be so hard. And I know we say it like very like clinically.
Yes.
But if you come from a family like this, it's very scary to set these boundaries.
Yeah. Because what will happen?
What will happen?
What happens to me?
Right. And when you're growing up and you're younger, it's essential to your survival to be a part of your family. Mm-hmm. You can't survive without being a part of your family.
Mm-hmm. So let's go through the like really oversimplified idea of a mesh boundaries, which is the one that every family therapist, like, this is like the one that they teach you, right? Here's the beginning level, which is a meshed mother, disengaged father. I want to be very clear about something here. The reason that the mother is always the enmeshed one is because of socially constructed idea about who is the primary caregiver. It's not necessarily because women do this. It's because of like the rules that society has created for women that often being primary caregiver goes into this.
And let's also mention that like a lot of what we talk about is from a heteronormative standpoint. But obviously this in, you know, in different relationships, it can change, it can be different. And so we're speaking about it from a very heteronormative perspective.
And so, and we're also talking about it, like we're using the word enmeshment, but you've also may have heard before codependency or fusion. These can all look incredibly similar and can show up in absolutely any relationship or any subsystem, right? So the subsystem is the family I grew up in, the place that I work. I mean, these can be work things too.
I was just going to say, do you think we're enmeshed?
Yes. No, I don't. Because
I don't either. We have good boundaries.
We're actually very good at like going against each other.
Yeah.
Right?
In a healthy way.
In a healthy way of being like, I don't agree with that one, but like, let me hear your part of it and like talking to each other. And I wouldn't say there's like one rule.
Yeah.
Also, I think we're both too anxious to be a leader. Would you say?
100%.
And in enmeshment, you need like some type of leader, even if the leader is a role, like is the contract or a rule. But like, no, like either of us are like, actually, I don't want to be the one in charge. Well, I'm too indecisive.
I think so.
I'm a Libra. I'm an asparagus. That's my favorite. That's my favorite meme.
I'm a Libra, not like, an asparagus.
That's my favorite meme. That's like, oh no. I'm very affected by the full moon because I'm a Pisces asparagus rising, and.
That's so funny. No, but I think we are able to say to each other when we have differences of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But we say, I'll take that into consideration. And then we kind of just go with whoever has the stronger opinion, I think. Right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, probably.
But I think we're able to, you know, neither one of us is like, oh, I don't know how I feel.
Yeah.
We're able to communicate.
But there's some shit I just simply don't care about.
Exactly. And so if I had a stronger opinion about
like our graphics, you really care about our graphics.
So
I notice nothing.
I really.
Right? What you see like of detail.
Yeah.
As opposed to like this office can be cluttered and I want to die.
Oh yeah, that doesn't bother me.
That doesn't bother you at all. But if the graphics are off, like you hone in on that. And I'm like, but there's bags over here and the mics aren't set on the wall and it's not properly organized because I'm an asparagus.
Rising.
Yes. Libra moon. Asparagus rising. Okay.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
But if we were to say that if we were to be a mesh, it's because we're disengaged somewhere, right? So here's the example that we talk about. To go back to this, once again, gendered heteronormative idea that a mother, husband is disengaged. He's working a lot. Woman is not getting her emotional needs met, which is probably a very common thing that happens, right? Then they start getting their emotional needs met by their child because they feel loved and needed and wanted. And then they are even closer to their child than they are to their partner.
And sometimes the child grows up feeling like a pseudo partner, right? Child grows up feeling like, oh, I have to take care of, in this situation, mom's needs or emotional needs, right? And so they grow up and they get to the point where they're leaving the house.
And it feels so bad.
And it's such a hard transition. Because the boundaries were skewed.
And it could be that they get either direct or indirect shame and guilt about this, because shame and guilt is a very, very common takeaway from families like this. Now, I would also go to say, like, we're talking about this. I think it's really easy to be like, oh, that wasn't my family. But like, also, was your family disengaged? I'm not saying that one is right or wrong. We're simply talking about, here's the shit that could happen if you come from a family like this. So it could be that you doubt yourself. You struggle to make your own life and always feel drawn back to your family of origin. It could be that you're shamed in your family of origin if you make your own life. If you go meet a wonderful wife, a wonderful husband, a wonderful partner, have your own kids, then all of a sudden you're breaking the family rules if you have something new.
Can I ask you a personal question? What were some family rules you think you had in your family?
I think the family rules I had in my family is, don't disturb your father. He's working.
Oof. Wow.
Right? Like that, like my dad's job was like very, very important to our family.
Mine was like, we all have to eat together and eat the same thing.
Okay, that was, no. I mean, like, we had takeout almost every night of my life. I remember probably like 4 times having a family dinner. Like, never did we have dinner together.
I don't think we've ever talked about like our...
We had a very different childhood.
Yeah. In certain ways. In certain ways. Then we were talking about how similar.
I mean, like, my mom tells the story often that, like, she has, like, one time she remembers that, like, I don't know if she had to work on a Saturday or something. Something happened that she like left us with my dad, and she came home like 6 hours later, and we had not moved from the couch, watched TV all morning, and he just gave us a bag of chips, right? And my dad was like, "They're happy," and like we totally were.
Chips
like,
are great.
We were hype on that. Like that was a really cool Saturday to us to like sit and watch TV. But looking back, I'm like, oh, we probably could have been used a little protein and some vegetables or water.
Nah.
Like at the time as kids, we didn't fight it. It felt awesome. But then there's certain stuff where it's like, oh, like maybe we could have used some more boundaries. Like yeah. That would have been nice. You did not have that experience.
Well, for some, I think, you know, in my family, my dad was trying to recreate the family that he never had. And so he had a very specific idea about what that looked like.
Mm-hmm.
What that meant was we all sit down together like the Partridge Family and we eat the same thing.
I've never actually seen that show.
Me either. I just feel like it fits.
Not actually sure if that's true for them. Brady but Bunch? For them. Sure. Yeah. I think both were just singing. Were you guys also singing songs together?
We weren't, but I think my dad probably expected that.
Okay, great.
Like mm-hmm. That kind of thing. Like we all come down the stairs and we're like, la-di-da, dad, yeah. Daddy, how was your day? And like mm-hmm. Run up to him. Obviously, that was not the case. So, but he also expected that we all ate the meal that mom made. And I was a very picky eater. I just wanted bread and butter all the
time. Who didn't?
And so it was a really
big... So did you have to eat it? What was the rules?
No, it was a lot of... There was a lot of friction. And I would kind of fight back because...
You didn't like that.
It didn't make sense to me. I was like, why should I have something to eat this, yeah. So I would fight back a lot. And so it would turn, and my brother was very hyperactive at the time. So like, needless to say, we were not the Partridge Family. Brady Bunch. Anyway.
So
I want you to think about, if you're listening to this, what are some family rules that you had growing up? And what did they look like in your family?
And
how
they can
did they
be
play out?
Said directly or indirectly, right? So right. That was one that was directly said to you. Mine was never directly said to me. Like, your father's job matters, like, is the most important. That was never said to me. Mm. You just knew it.
Right. I mean, mine wasn't brother, really yeah. said to me either. It was just very clear to
sit down and do this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the interesting part we should also talk about is that, like, enmeshed parents tend to respond too quickly to their children, where disengaged parents or diffused parents don't respond quickly enough. Mm. So what that might look like, and I can sometimes have a little bit of this with my daughter, which is that, like, if she starts to panic and hyperventilate, it's really hard for me to not run in and save her. But it also doesn't allow for her to have times to, like, figure out how to self-soothe and how to, like, experience distress tolerance.
So in a way, right, like, if she's stressed about something,
mm-hmm.
does it trigger your anxiety? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That she's stressed.
This is the worst part. Here's what she does now, right? Okay, my daughter has gorgeous hair. Long.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous, curly,
my
curly.
My jealousy
curly. Yes.
of
yes.
her hair.
Her hair is curly and is. Huge. It's amazing.
Ugh.
It's also... She won't let us cut it. And it's very tangly because she also doesn't want to wear it up. So she wants it down. She wants it not brushed. And I can't cut it. I mean, her hair is like down to her butt. And so like this is a big thing.
She
that,
looks
like,
so cute.
I know. But like every 3 days, right? Like when we wash her hair because curly hair, it is like you would think we're murdering her in the shower.
It hurts.
It hurts, right? So like no matter how much detangler, conditioner, anything. And we only brush her hair in the shower. I learned a lot about curly hair. We only brush her hair in the shower after with conditioner on it. So like in theory, we try to make this as manageable as possible. And my God, it is not.
No, that sounds hard.
So one of the things that'll happen is she will say, "You're hurting me, you're hurting me." And that is like super triggering to me because like, of course, I never want her to be hurt. And also the idea of her like saying this out loud and her needs not getting met. But like also like I have to brush her hair. That's like not an option.
100%.
So you get lost in this very difficult thing about like a super overly enmeshed mom would just be like, okay. I just won't brush your hair.
Because their anxiety is heightened. And
yes. Or they'll say, just get over it. Here, I got to go do it, right? So in either way, it's like an extreme as opposed to like, okay, how do I calm myself down and say like, I know that this is hard. I know that you feel like it feels uncomfortable. You are safe. I am here with you and I still have to finish your hair.
I feel comforted by that.
She still does not. She still does not give a shit. One day, apparently, this will work.
You know what you should try? This is just a side note.
Yes, co-wash.
Have you tried co-wash?
I should try co-wash.
I use co-wash on my hair. From someone who has very curly frizzy, wavy, curly hair, I only use co-wash.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Yeah. Yes. I'll send it to you.
Okay, thank you very much.
But and I think another example, something that came to my mind is when you're upset about something, like even as an older adult and you call your mom and they're like, oh my God, I'm so worried about you, right? Like that it like worries your parents. Your parents get worried that they can no longer be.
Like, did you have that girl in college you went to school with that her mom would call her like 30 times a day?
Or she would call her mom 30 times a day? Yes.
Yeah. There was a girl on my sorority floor who her mom would like check in, like, I kid you not, like every other hour.
Like so worried.
So overwhelmed, right? So then this made this other person take on that anxiety and also be overwhelmed and like super scared of stuff.
Well, and I think
kind of paranoid.
I think that could go two ways too, right? I'm sure it could go a million ways, but I'm going to give you the two ways.
One is you learn to lie.
You learn to lie, or you could also say, you know, you push down all your feelings because you're just, your parents are so worried that you're like, I'm going to make sure that they don't worry no matter what. And I guess that fits with lying, where you're like, okay, well, I'm not going to tell them anything that's going on with me because they're going to get so worried, right? Then there's no space in your relationship to be able to lean on them.
Yeah.
Because then you're taking care of their emotions more so than you're able to express your own. Mm-hmm.
Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packed. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
And the funny, like, and the interesting thing here is, like, we're really only talking about psychological boundaries, not physical boundaries. Because you could grow up with five kids in a one-bedroom apartment in New York and be completely disengaged and have rigid boundaries towards each other and not be enmeshed. Mm-hmm. And then you could also, like, grow up with, like, actually this probably happens more often as an only child.
Oh.
Where the parents can become enmeshed with another child, right? So, like, this has not to do, like, you know, someone could have the experience of growing up in a shelter in one room with their whole family.
Right.
And be still not have any of this. This
right,
is
we're talking
truly
about emotional,
psychological. Yes.
Emotional boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's tough, though.
It's tough because you might be listening to this and thinking, like, oh, shit, this is me. This is my relationship with parent A or parent B or both parent A, B, C, D, whatever. And you're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Because if I send this episode to my parent A, they're going to be like, oh, what are you trying to tell me something? Or, right?
100%.
You know, like, we have this idea that setting boundaries is, like, going to be, like, simple and easy and people are going to take it super well. Like, that never happens.
Or
I feel like social media, like, yeah, I feel like Insta therapists made it seem like that's going to happen. Like,
nah.
Doesn't really happen like that.
I think as an Insta therapist, you almost have to make things very, like, simple and easy.
Well, you do.
You don't
yeah.
have a choice.
For sure.
You know?
But like, still, then I think people set these boundaries and, like, man, my mom took that not
really
well. My mom did not respond well to that. And, like, so did I do it wrong? And, like, so usually means you did it right. But how do you, like, the question is, how do you go from enmeshment and then not all the way to cut off? Because one of the things happens is that pendulum swing, right? So if I'm on one side fully enmeshed, then it feels like the only way to do it is straight cut off. How do I go towards the middle and learn to have fluid working, like what we call a living relationship? A living relationship is something that moves and changes and is fluid throughout time. And the way that you start to do this is you start to notice, okay, what comes up for me? What do I activate within this person? And we have something great you can do called objective observing, where you watch, and this, you know what? It's a great time to do objective observing. The holidays. Guess what's coming up?
Hanukkah.
Thanksgiving, right? Diwali, like all the things that are coming up.
Christmas,
and,
of course.
And, oh, yeah, and Christmas. But, and there's a lot of things, right? Culturally, you might say, well, this is part of my culture that we're like involved in everything. We're not saying one thing is problematic. What we're talking about is you as an individual, what works for you.
So something to think about, right? Like if we just use the example of like you're upset about something, you talk to your parent and they're like, oh my God, I'm so worried about you, right? So I want you to think about how do you usually react to that? What would you usually do? Would you shut down? Would you pull away? Would you get more upset because you want your parent to take care of you and then they get more upset, they get more worried?
Mm-hmm.
First, I want you to think about what would I typically do in this situation? And then I want you to think about now, what could I change? And we talk a lot about responding versus reacting, right? And so in those moments, whether you're shutting down, whether you're getting more upset, you're getting angry, that's a reaction. And so I want you to think about how do I consciously respond to this and set this boundary with my parent?
Yeah.
And what that can look like is you say, hey, listen, when I'm really upset, sometimes I share it with you and I see that you get upset and I understand you really care about me. However, it makes it really hard to share things with you because I care about you and sometimes I just want you to be able to be there for me without it being about your emotions.
Mm-hmm. How do you think so is going to respond back to that? The
Probably
first time.
What the fuck?
The first time. The 30th time, they might be able to hear it. But when I talk about a living relationship, it means it takes multiple attempts to do something.
Mm.
It doesn't usually just work once. If it does, my goodness, you lucky duck, that's fabulous.
My goodness, you lucky duck.
It's just not the norm. Right?
100%.
What a lucky duck you are.
And I think that it's important that in those moments, right, if your parent reacts to that, right, if they say, what the fuck, like what, you know, if they start getting upset, to continue to hold on to yourself in those moments. Mm-hmm. That is where you continue to respond versus react. Because yeah. I think it's very easy to get pulled back into that dynamic and say, oh, this didn't work. I'm so upset now. You know, like they can never be there for me. And to continue to say, like, I understand that this is hard for you. But this is in order for me to continue to lean on you or for us to continue to have these conversations, it's important for me to set this boundary.
Yeah. because I love you and I want to have a relationship. A relationship is, I mean, boundaries are not about hurting a relationship. It's actually about trying to maintain a relationship. We don't set boundaries because we want cut off. We set boundaries because we want and desire the relationship with this other person to work. So this also might happen in a workplace. I want to make sure we also talk about like all the different subsystems, right?
Love it. Yep.
So wait, let me go into like romantic relationships first, yeah, because everyone has that friend who got in a relationship and you never saw him again.
Ever.
What happened to Tina? She left with Jacqueline and now all they do is spend time together. Right? Like, so like we all
what
have
happened
that-
to Tina?
Tina!
Where'd you go?
Was that the name of the alpaca in Napoleon Dynamite?
You know, I feel like now that you say that, yes. I would say yes. Wouldn't be the first thing I thought of. I was thinking maybe Tina Turner.
Oh, God. I do love Jeez, Tina Turner. Tina. Rolling. Rolling. Okay. So we have that friend who, like,
it
leaves.
It is way too early.
And, like, it's way too early. Yeah, it is. It's too early. It's a good point. Good point. I'm going to hold Tina for the recording later on today.
Right, yes, please do. Mm-hmm.
So... right? So like you have this friend who left, and I think it's really easy to get super mad at that person. But you notice something when we talk about boundaries being reciprocal, she had to disengage from the friendships to over engage in the romantic relationships. It is always two sides of everything, right? So another one we want to look at is work culture. Do you have a boss that calls you way too early in the morning, way too late at night, and then micromanages everything you've done? You might have an enmeshed...
an enmeshed boss.
Oh, my God. We should do a whole series of that where it's like, you remember, the, like, you might be a redneck. Like, you might be a... No. Jeff Foxworthy? The 90s? Where were you?
I don't know. I was trying to eat my own... I was trying to eat bread and butter at my dinners in the 90s.
So, like, no. There was, like, a whole... Jeff Foxworthy had this whole thing that was, like, you might be a redneck if...
Was that a TV show?
I'm not sure. We'll Google it later. But somebody listening knows what I'm talking about because yes. Their mother played
it. And write
in the
in.
Car.
Please write in.
Yes. Or did I make was the entire thing an acid fever dream?
Very possible.
Oh, it was just an acid flashback. Very, very good. Got it. Okay. So, right? Like, so you say, like, you know, you might experience an enmeshed boss if these things happen. If they're calling you too often, if they also want to be maybe overly involved in your individual personal life. And if there isn't appropriate boundaries, if they say our office is like a family, no, it's not.
No.
Your office is an office. That's it. Great to have a nice community, but what is that about, right? So, like, that's how we say sometimes somebody can get over-involved in their job and disengage. And is there a reason they want to avoid stuff on the other end? Yes.
Something that I was thinking of, too.
I thought you were holding in a burp.
That, too. I had, like, indigestion in the same moment. But, like, if you screw something up at work, which, of course, you will, just because you're human, and you bring it to them and you say, hey, like, this got screwed up or I need to talk to you about this, and you're really upset about it, they get really upset about it, right? They're no longer kind of holding on. I always say holding – someone who can hold on to themselves, right? That mm-hmm. level of differentiation mm-hmm. where if your boss cannot hold on to themselves and they're like, oh, my God, I can't believe you would do that. I'm so upset you screwed everything up, right? Their ability to hold on to themselves in the face of you having anxiety and you being upset
yeah.
might be a sign that you have a enmeshed boss.
Did you try to do it? Did you try to
I tried. I just don't know what you're talking about. So, like, I couldn't.
Okay, after we record this, I'm going to make you watch
Please
it.
Please do.
Maybe Nikki can put it up on our Instagram and find one.
She's going to look it up and be like, Emily, there was nothing.
I think I made the whole thing
that
up.
That wasn't a thing.
Like that girl with the big comfy couch where she moved her legs to the clock. What were you watching growing up?
Nickelodeon. Did you not watch Nickelodeon?
Yeah, we watched Nickelodeon. I mean, I remember like Nickelodeon. We are the same age.
I mean, I'm so much older.
Okay,
than
you. Well, I think what I'm talking about is even from before your time. Right, you didn't like watch like Fraggle Rock?
Oh yeah, I watched Fraggle
okay,
Rock.
Okay, yeah, right?
But like what the fuck is the other thing?
But, like, all right, cool. What? Well, so good news is if we were from an enmeshed relationship and Jen forgot about this thing from our childhood, that would actually feel like betrayal to me.
Oof. Does it?
No, because now I'm not sure if any of this was real. Just like everything in life is fake. I feel sure of now. I don't know.
So, yeah. So, and or I might pretend like I know what you're talking about so that you don't get upset with me.
Yes, exactly. So I think that's another thing. If you have learned to lie and omit truth and like be different parts of yourself as a level of survival, you might come from an enmeshed family. I'm not saying you have to change any of this. I'm just saying let's create some consciousness.
And to notice how is it affecting you, right? If it's not affecting you in any sort of negative way, fuck it. Stop listening to this. If it is, right? If you feel like I don't even know what I think and I don't even know how I feel, mm-hmm. right? I need to call my parents to even know how I feel about the situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't make decisions on my own. Mm-hmm. And I can't express how I feel because I'm so worried about how other people are going to feel from how I feel. Yes. I have to take care of everyone else's feelings
yep.
before my own. Mm-hmm. So I want you to ask yourself, how has this affected me? Mm-hmm. How have I grown up to learn about who I am in relation to other people? And if you recognize this isn't serving me, then acknowledge it and say, okay, well, how can I set these boundaries? What's mm-hmm. a way in which I can set these boundaries in my relationships that are going to help me move towards feeling like I can have my own individual self?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So if you enjoyed this episode or thought someone else might enjoy it, maybe not your mom, if you're worried about
if
that reaction.
If you have an enmeshed friend.
If you have someone, we invite you to send it on over to Tina.
Tina!
There
she go.
I invite you to send it over to them. You can always rate, review, subscribe, and follow on Apple Podcasts. Hey, and don't forget to grow yourself. You got to know yourself. We'll be right back.